Are you ready for God's word? Amen, amen, amen. Then if you're ready for God's word, I'd like you to consider our title, and that is Hope is Coming. Hope is coming. What does it mean that hope is coming? Someone asked me, Pastor, do you really believe that hope is coming? Yeah, absolutely. His name is Jesus. Jesus is coming back. I want you to think about this with me for a second. If Jesus is not coming back, then what are we doing here? Can I tell you the whole point of Christianity is that Jesus is returning? I'll put it to you the way the Apostle Paul did. If Jesus did not conquer death and if he is not returning, then let us go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Then that all that is just this life, you might as well live it up because that's all you have. But I know that he's coming back, amen? In fact, hope, in the way the Bible uses hope, is not wishful thinking. Oh, I hope he comes back. I don't know if he is or not. No, hope, the way the Bible uses it, is certainty. I know he's coming back. And because I know he's coming back, it impacts everything of my life. And so I want to share with you that if we're going to live with this hope that Christ is returning, it impacts how we live as a Christian. So the question we asked a few weeks ago was, how do I live as a Christian? Can you ask that of yourself? How do you live as a Christian? Well, there's a lot to be said about that. But I like the way the Apostle Paul puts it in the book of Galatians. Can you turn to the book of Galatians if you have your Bible? And in this amazing book, the Apostle Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not, what? Carry out the desires of the flesh. And so he's putting to mind this idea that there is a spiritual walk, and there's a way to walk in a gratifying way to the Holy Spirit, and there's a way to walk by the flesh. If you walk by the flesh, you are not walking by the Spirit. And if you walk by the Spirit, you're not walking by the flesh. He goes on to say this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So he's saying that when you become a Christian, you have new life by the Spirit of God. And if you have new life by the Spirit of God, we should also walk by the Spirit of God. That means completely controlled. I want you to think. We said this last week, and I want to make sure we build off what we said last week, and that is when you became a Christian, it started with a step of faith, right? The Bible says, repent and believe. When you believe, that's your step of faith, and now you have life by the Spirit. You got to keep walking the same way you started, by faith, amen? And so this is super, super important because there's a battle going on. And this battle, we said last week, is for your mind. Today, we add the second part of the battle. It's for your heart. Because how many of you know, if he can get here, then he can get here. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to start stressing you in your mind only to steal your heart, to capture your heart. Have you ever seen a team, an athlete, a competitor of some sort lose heart? What happens when they lose heart? It becomes too much. Can I tell you, there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans that are losing heart every year. And they're losing heart because it becomes too much for them. What becomes too much? Life, family, relationships, the stress of work, the bills, inflation, everything is just piling up. And so the enemy wants to steal your heart. Do you know one of the most common themes found in the New Testament is don't lose heart? Don't you dare lose heart, the Bible says. The Bible wants you to know that God has given you a new heart. That God has put in you a joy and a strength and a faith that should not be overcome. And so I want to share with you today, if you're here and you feel like the world is stacked against you and things are coming at you and you've thought about giving up, you've thought about throwing in the towel, you've thought about how can I make it? How can I overcome? How can I press through? I want you to know that you're not alone, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can help you overcome where you're at. The same Spirit. This is the Spirit that gives new life. This is why the Bible says if you are in Christ, if you have the Spirit of the living God, the same one that raised him from the dead will make you a new creation. A new creation, because many times the reason we lose heart is because we know that we know that we know that we're bound. We're bound in some kind of spiritual stronghold, and we want to break free, and we want to break free, but we've come to the point of believing the lie of the enemy that says you'll never get free. And I'm here to tell you, greater is he who is within you than he who is in the world. And the one that is in you is the one that raised Christ from the dead and gave you new life. Amen? And so keep your heart. We're going to cover some simple points. Three simple points. How many do I usually cover? Three. And they're going to be really simple. Spirit, purpose, joy, and strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so we'll cover these, and we'll start off with the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Spirit is the third person of the Trinity that indwells a believer and gives us mercy and grace. He is the gift of mercy and grace. You go, what do you mean mercy and grace? I mean the fact he introduces us to God's love is what I'm saying. The Bible says that without the Spirit of God, you wouldn't know salvation, and salvation is God's love. And God's love has two facets. Two facets that I like to say are two sides of the coin of love. One of them is mercy, the other one is grace. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. What did we deserve? If you were before your father and you deserved a whooping, what would be mercy? Not getting the whooping. What would be grace? So if mercy is not getting what I deserve, grace is getting what I don't deserve. So in the same example of not getting the whipping, now how does your father show you grace? He gives you the ice cream you didn't deserve. So he doesn't give you the whipping, that's mercy, but you're no better off. You're just still here. Grace is I give you heaven too. Not only do I not give you hell, now I give you heaven. That's my love for you. Isn't it interesting? I can remember how this was explained to me in a very life applicable, practical way when I was 7 years old. I was living in San Antonio, Texas. That's where I was born. I was born in Santa Rosa Hospital, San Antonio, Texas. I like to save. How many of you have ever gone to the Market Square? If you go to the Market Square and you look toward Santa Rosa Hospital, they have that huge mural and there's a little boy, he's holding a dove or something. That's me. I don't know if that's true or not. Every other dark-headed little boy is saying the same thing. But anyway, I can remember being 7 years old, and I was in first grade. I was in first grade because I started kindergarten at 6 years old because I had a fall birthday, okay? And my brother was 5 years old, and he was in kindergarten. And I can remember my mom dropped us off, and we watched for her to leave, and then we skipped school. At seven! And we're not talking about a small town. We're not talking about just going across to grandma's house or going just somewhere close. We walked down Culebra Street, down San Pedro. We were all over San Antonio. They didn't let us get on the bus. If not, I'd have gotten on the bus and rode the Via Via, who knows where. But I'm telling you this. As a kid, I found safe haven in H-E-B. H-E-B has everything you need to live. I mean, they have toys, they have grapes, they have food, they have little Debbies. I mean, I was going to town. I don't know how these guys didn't see two little guys just opening up everything, leaving a mess. Not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days. We were going on 5 days. And I can remember my brother going like, I think he was starting to feel like he wanted to go to school, go back home, be normal again. And he goes, I don't want to do this tomorrow. And I go, it's too late. This is the life you've chosen. We're destined to roam the streets, bro. And then because you start to feel like once you've walked off the path, the enemy tells you you can't come back. And you know what I was hearing in my heart, what I shared with him and what he shared with me? If we go back, they're going to find out we've been skipping, and then dad is going to kill us. Isn't that what the enemy says? You can't go back. God doesn't want you anymore. You done walked away. He's going to rain down fire and brimstone on you. You ruined it. Your faith is gone. That couldn't be further from the truth. I can remember saying to my brother, because my brother was kind of looking around. I go, what are you looking for? He goes, Aunt Esther passes through here all the time, and I'm looking for Aunt Esther. And I said, stop looking for Aunt Esther. You're going to get us caught. And I said, if you hear her little rabbit, how many of you remember the old Volkswagen rabbits? They have a distinct sound. If you hear her rabbit, jump in the bushes. And so I heard her rabbit, and I jump in the bushes, and I'm looking, and my brother's like, and I'm like, Aaron, get in here. And he jumps in the bushes. And I hear the little rabbit Volkswagen drop into reverse. And he goes, it goes like, you know, that high-pitched sound. I can't even do it with my voice right now. But it was this distinct sound. And I just knew it was her. And she says, Aaron, is that you? And he says, no, Aunt Esther. He's a kindergartner. Okay, we walked away and we're running from the Lord and we're doing all this. We're 7-5. What's your excuse? Hear what I'm saying? And so then she says, is Chris with you? Yes, he's right here. You guys get out here. She put us in the car and she drove us to grandma's house and she called my father. Oh, man, that's a horrible feeling knowing that my father was, and grandma put me in a room, both me and Aaron, in different rooms and said, your father will be here soon. It was like she was getting ready to, they were going to interrogate us. They separated us. And then they put us in that room, and my father comes in, and I'll never forget as long as I live what I experienced. I thought for sure he was going to whip me till I could never sit down again. I thought it was going to be the end of me. I mean, as a kid, you're just so overwhelmed with guilt and grief and worry. And I'll never forget, he bent down, and he looked me in the eyes, and with tears coming down his eyes, he hugged me. He hugged me so tight, and then he picked me up as he stood up, and he said, I could have lost you. I love you so much. You don't ever have to run away or do what you did. I'm not going to spank you. I want you to know I forgive you, and I'm going to pray a blessing over you. And without asking permission, he just put his hand on my forehead, and he began to pray promise over me. He said, my son is covered by the blood of Jesus. He began to pray promise over me, promise over me, promise over me. And I could feel something just welling up inside, like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I deserve a whooping. I deserve to be killed, you know, in a sense. As a kid, you're thinking that. And yet God has given me so much mercy. Fathers, you have the wonderful ministry of mercy in your families, in your household, in your children's lives. And I was introduced to God's mercy through my father. You know, many times somebody else will introduce us to God's mercy because of how they treat us. We'll talk more about that as we go along. But do you hear what I'm saying to you? Because the Bible says clearly that we have been saved. And because we have been saved and experienced this amazing mercy, why do we get so stressed out? This is why the Bible says things like this. Don't worry. Stop worrying. How many of you are going, stop worrying? What does that feel like? I don't even know how to live without worry. It says stop worrying about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. So can you imagine if you stopped worrying about anything and instead you prayed about every single thing? Watch what he says. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Can you imagine? Remember, we're on this walk. One path goes away from him. This path goes toward him. And as you walk toward him, you're going to experience opposition because the Bible's already told us we have a spiritual fight. And the minute you want to go towards the Lord, you're going to have a spiritual enemy show up, try to discourage you. He's going to try to steal your heart, break your spirit, have you lose heart. And so the Bible says when you face a worry, don't worry. Instead, start praying. This is a spiritual walk. Therefore, do spiritual battle. And when you start praying, Watch. How do you pray? It's right there. With thanksgiving. Why do you give thanksgiving? Because thanksgiving is saying this. I've taken a few steps on my path, and I can thank you for how faithful you were. And because you were faithful, my faith has grown. Therefore, I don't worry, which is the opposite of faith. Instead, I stand on what you've already revealed your faithfulness to me. Therefore, I will thank you for what you did and thank you for what you're about to do. And it's that peace, watch this. Then you will experience God's peace, peace which exceeds what? Anything we can understand. That means this peace that he's going to give you is not from this world. It's going to blow your mind because you're going to be like, I should not be this calm in this situation. In another version, it says, and then your gentleness will be known by everyone around. What do you mean gentleness? Your calm, peaceful nature will be evident to everyone who is seeing you walk through the difficulty. And they'll say, I've seen him when he was high. It's easy to walk in faithfulness when everything's going your way. But now that they're low, now that it's crashing, now that everything's falling apart, can you see what's happening? And then watch what else he says. And this peace will guard your heart and your mind. And that's what we're talking about, not losing heart. It'll guard your heart. It's a peace given by God. I want you to consider this with me for a second. This peace is the peace of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that he is the spirit of peace. We also know that in the same chapters that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, he says, my peace I leave with you. Same chapters right there. It's all in the same teaching. He says, my peace I leave with you. His peace is his spirit. And when you don't quench his spirit and you walk by the spirit and you let him lead you, then you'll have peace. Doesn't mean you won't have opposition. You'll have opposition, but it's the spirit that gives you victory over that opposition. Amen? Amen? Amen. Can I get an amen from someone? Amen. There you go. He goes on to say this, do not be deceived. So the enemy is a deceiver. He wants to get you off your spiritual walk. How is he going to get you off of your spiritual walk? Watch what he says. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. That means what God has said is true. Don't let him twist you up on it. Watch what else he says. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Same thing. If you're sowing and you're going in your own selfish direction or you're going a worldly way, you're going away from the path that God has laid out for you, then you're going to reap what you've sowed. And he's saying, don't get it twisted in your mind that you can't go this way and somehow expect for God to bless everything. Because when he blesses it, he's showing you, I can keep putting that seed in the ground and getting blessings, and that'll only lead you away from him. He will never do that. He won't. So what is he saying? He's saying, make sure you understand what you're putting in the ground. Are you putting worry in the ground? Are you putting stress in the ground? Are you putting anxiety in the ground? What are you planting in your garden of life? Amen? Are you planting comparison? Oh, I compare myself to others all the time. I'm always envying what others have. I'm always greedy about having more of what the world has to offer. If you're planting that in your garden, you're going to have a garden full of what? Stress and worry that's going to it's going to affect your heart. Amen? And so watch what he goes on to say. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Keep on keeping on. For in due time. What is that due time? Oh, Lord, I wish your time was with my time. Isn't that true? In due time, we will reap if we don't grow weary. So this goes on to what James says. James says, therefore, be patient. Did you hear that? All of the Bible in the New Testament does this. It works hand in hand. Paul says what? In due season. Keep on keeping on. James says, be patient. Isn't that the same thing as in due season? Be patient. Are you with me? Okay, so he says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. So this is what he's saying. Keep on keeping on. Jesus is coming for you. He's either going to take you home to see him or he's going to come see you. But either way, this life won't last forever. Amen? Amen? He says, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. Be patient about it, right? Being patient about it until he gets the early rain and the latter rain. That means there's a season for everything. But notice how he brings it back to agriculture. Isn't that what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, you're gonna get what you plant. He's saying, look at the farmer. When you plant good, it takes a while. Come on, how many of you have ever planted a fruit tree? How long does it take for that fruit tree to start producing fruit? Years. You know, it's interesting because when I was a kid I was bien travieso. Travieso means like Dennis the Menace. I was a pain to my dad in many ways. But my dad said, I got to start spending more time with him. And so as he begins to spend more time with me, we're playing ball, we're doing all these things, but he wanted me to understand agriculture, so he wanted us to plant a garden together. We prepared the land, we weeded it, we got it all ready, and then we went and we bought our seeds. What I wanted to plant was what? Carrots. I put the little seeds in the ground. You put the little stake in front of your row, right? And then you put the little seed pouch on top, staple it there, and then you know this is where your carrots are. We had carrots, squash, peppers, on and on, right? So when the carrots began to sprout, not too much time, I don't think, I went and looked at them and I said, I was into Bugs Bunny, so I saw how quickly they grew in the cartoon. I figured they might be ready to take a peek at them. So I pulled the first carrot out. There was no carrot. It was just a flimsy little root. I said, this ain't no good. I put it back in the ground, covered it up, got the next one out. Nothing. Next one, next one, next one, next one. All of them the same. I confirmed it. Why? Because I saw it. Put it back in the ground. I got up, I went inside, didn't tell a soul. Watered like I was supposed to water, didn't tell nobody. Came back the next day, did it again. Watered it, came back the next day, did it again until I killed the whole harvest. My dad's going, I don't know what happened to the carrots. What happened? There's no patience. How many of you have ever heard, don't ever pray for? You know that's foolish. How many of you would have no problem praying for patience? Raise your hand. You should, because love is. See, when you pray for patience, you're saying, Lord, I want to connect with your love and I want to learn to love like you love. Isn't that good? And so he's saying, you got to have patience, brother. So many times, this is how we do. We put the carrot seed in the ground and then we start digging it up. Let me give it to you in this way. How many of us have ever said, oh, Lord, I need your blessing in my finances. I need your blessing in my finances. Therefore, I'm going to start tithing. And you start tithing and putting God first. And then you go the very first day. You tithe one Sunday. The very next Monday, you go check the bank account. You know, get online. I wonder if something miraculous happened. You go look at the credit card statement. Oh, it hasn't gone down. I thought they were going to make a mistake or something. Like these people always give these testimonies. Oh, they made a mistake and they refunded me all the interest payments I've been paying, right? No. You're digging up your carrots going, Lord, how about this? How long did it take for you to get in debt? At least give him half that time to get you out of debt. Amen? Isn't that true? And so what I'm saying is you gotta be patient. You say, oh, it's not about finances for me. What about your relationship? You made a determination. I'm going to start being the husband I'm called to be. I'm going to be the father I'm called to be. But the minute it gets tough, you want to leave? Or I'm going to be the wife I'm called to be because I've heard that if I'm this way, it can change my husband. Or if I heard if I'm this way, it can change my spouse, my wife. But then you act good for one weekend, and then you're checking and going, hey, what's up with you? You haven't changed yet. I want you to remember the carrot. You're digging it out, and you're about to kill it. leave it there and be patient and understand that there has to be some rain that falls. There has to be God's season of timing that takes place. But don't lose. It's right there. Don't lose heart. Fight the good fight. Keep on running. Keep on. Because ultimately, this is a walk of faith. And the Bible says it clearly. Faith is confidence. Confidence that is given by the Holy Spirit as you learn that He is faithful. And as you learn that He is faithful, come on. Come on, if you play any sport, you know that a team has to gain confidence. And the way you gain confidence is to play the game and win. Play the game and win. Play the game, lose it. Get up and play it again. And you keep doing. That's why they say all the time, this team's not ready for a championship. Why aren't they ready for a championship? They have no experience. And they don't know that everybody has a plan. Everybody. It's like that great theologian Mike Tyson said. Isn't that true? He said, everybody has a plan when they step in the ring until they get, look, everybody has a plan until they get in the ring and they get hit in the mouth. Then all of a sudden, what? Plan goes out the window. And the way you learn is to get hit and get back up. Get hit, get back up, and you start noticing, I'm tougher than I thought. Not only am I tougher than I thought, the Holy Spirit is doing something in me I've never seen before. Isn't that true? This is what we're talking about. That kind of blew the whole thing. At the end of the day, we're talking about our purpose. Our purpose, guys. And this is why Paul says to Timothy about purpose. This is what he says to Timothy. You go, Pastor, you're jumping all over the New Testament. I want you to know this isn't an isolated theme that he hits once and leaves it alone. He talks about it over and over and over because he wants you to know the enemy wants your heart and he's going to keep coming at your heart and you have to know how to guard it and how to not lose it. And so he says here, for the love of money is the what? The root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows or much worry. Casey, this is what he's saying. He's saying, if you start going down that other path, you're going to create way more problems for yourself. Because you are built to be filled with satisfaction by the presence of God. And the enemy will have you turn to money, have you turn to all sorts of things, lust, women, men, accolades, the applause of others, the wanting to be important in the eyes of others, all of this will leave you worrying, worrying, worrying. He's saying, no, stay on the path. Stay on the path, Timmy. Watch. It's right there. He says, but you, O man of God, you, O woman of God, watch this. Flee these things. Flee them and pursue the cause of Christ. That will fill you up. He's saying, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Man, run towards heaven. Fight the enemy. Don't let him overcome you. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. That's what he's saying. Don't you dare lose heart. Keep on keeping on. It's right there. And then watch what he says. He says this, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says, you've got people cheering you on. You got people cheering you on. But watch, I'm going to talk a little bit more about heading in this other direction. What happens when you head in the other direction? If you're with me, turn to Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he gives you remarkable advice. He says, for I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. What does he mean when he says, I insist on it? He's saying this is super important. Don't you dare miss this. That's what he says. Watch. And insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. What does it mean not to live as the Gentiles do? He's saying don't live like you did before you were saved. You go, Pastor, nothing's changed since I got saved. That's another conversation. You probably ain't saved. You know, something's got to change. It's called repent and believe. Start your walk of faith. And as you walk in faith, he's saying, don't go back to the way you used to live. It's right there. You're no longer a Gentile. Watch. In the futility of their thinking, what does it mean, futile thinking, useless thinking? This thinking didn't lead to life. It led to nonsense. Watch, you hear it right there. They are darkened in their understanding. What does it mean, darkened in their understanding? Have you ever talked to someone about the things of God and they just can't see it? Anyone? How about any one of you, any one of us ever were darkened? I know I was. I couldn't see it. God has to open your eyes, give you light. So watch, darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. So first your heart, your mind will get darkened, but then your heart will begin to get hard. And you will lose sensitivity. That means you won't feel towards the things of God what you once felt. And that's why people tell me all the time, they say, Pastor, I just don't feel like I used to feel. And I say, well, then you got to get back on your walk and start getting on this walk of faith and take it serious. Start crying out to the Spirit of the living God to bring back his sensitivity as you consecrate yourself to him. But that's another message. Here we go. Watch this. Having lost their sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. Isn't that what we said? Isn't that what he told Timothy? He says, when you start walking this way, you want more and more of what money has. Here he's saying, doesn't matter what lust you're going after. You're going to want more and more of it. And watch what he says. He says, and they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are what? Full of greed. The way I learned it in the old NIV, it said, with a continual lust for more. That means you just want more, 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 more. He's saying, you don't want to be there. You want to go this way. Because when you're going this way, drop down to verse 30. Are you with me? Drop down to verse 30. Same chapter, down to verse 30. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed on the day that he saved you. And he sealed you for the day that he's taken you to heaven. He sealed you, and you cannot grieve him. Because if you grieve him, you're going to head down that dark path. Your understanding will go. Your heart will go. You'll have a desire for more, more lust. And it's a hard path to get back. Do you hear what he's saying? You go, Pastor, why are you telling me this? Because I believe a lot of people lose heart over here. They lose heart over here. Vince Lombardi once said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. What did he mean by that? If you're in a fight and you're not in good shape, what's going to happen in the later rounds? You're going to feel like what? Quitting. And that's what Paul is describing. He's saying, when you're walking away in your own strength and you're being overcome in your mind, in your heart, and all of these things are taking place, when the enemy comes at you, and he will, you're not going to be able to what? To fight him. But what if you're working it out and you're strengthening in the Spirit of God and he comes at you? Do you see what's happening here? He's using very, very, very simple terms to describe something supernatural. So we're almost done. 2 Corinthians, he says this, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. There's that theme again, we don't lose heart. So if you're with me, I'm about to finish in 5 minutes. This is what he says. Therefore, having this ministry of what? How did I start the message off? Talking about salvation. And then I've been painting this picture. You don't want to walk away from the things of God. You want to walk towards the things of God. This is a spiritual walk. You need to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. The enemy's going to come against your heart. All of these things. And I'm trying to convince you that it's a better way to live completely dedicated to the Lord. But now I'm going to take it up a notch. And I'm going to tell you that your purpose is not just to live holy, but your purpose is to live out a ministry of mercy. What do you mean a ministry of mercy? Well, do you remember the story I told you about my father showing me mercy? And because I experienced mercy, now I get to share that gift of mercy from God with others. And that ignites your life to a whole new level. Because I hear this all the time, Pastor, I left what I used to do and I'm trying to walk this out, but I don't feel any zest. I don't feel any purpose. I don't feel any excitement. I say, start sharing your faith. Start sharing, because you are a minister of what? Start telling people they don't have to go to hell. That God loves them. That the same love that set you free can set them free. Start telling them in any way you can that God has a beautiful, amazing plan for their life. And if he can save a wretch like me, he can save you. Amen? Start telling them. It's a beautiful thing. Because ultimately, that is the joy that makes life worth living. To live beyond me for a purpose that's greater than me and beyond this world. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is where we finish. If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says this: therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. What does he say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I'm going to go back up. I'm going to highlight a couple of things and we'll be done. Notice what he said. Therefore, that means I've been explaining all this beauty. Now I'm going to tell you what it means. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, don't give up. Okay, who are the witnesses? Past and present. Past are those that are in heaven saying, come on, you can do this. David, Jonah, Paul, Peter, your grandparents, whoever else saying, you can do this. Don't give up. Come on, keep it up, keep it up. You're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost there. Don't you dare quit. But how about the ones that are present? How about this church? When you got a brother in Christ come up to you and say, I know you've been going through a hard time, but I just want you to know your testimony is speaking to me. I'm so proud of you. I've been praying for you. I've been watching your walk. Keep it up. Doesn't that feel good? So just between services, a young man who they just had a baby and they were in the cry room, he comes up to me and says, Pastor, I got to encourage you. Basically saying, I'm one of those witnesses. I'm one of those witnesses that watch what you do. And I want to tell you, thank you for preaching. Thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for doing what God has called you to do, because this is how it's impacted me. And he goes, I hope it makes you feel encouraged. I said, absolutely. First, to God be the glory, but thank you, because that's exactly what Paul is saying. You're not alone. You got people encouraging you. But you know, you got a third type of witness. You've got the witness that's not a believer yet. And maybe you've witnessed to them because you have that ministry of mercy, right? And they look at you and they go, I want to see if this Keith guy, if he really lives what he says. He might be somebody you work with. He might be someone that's been watching you for a while and they're just looking. Isn't that true? And how you walk it out will determine. But it goes beyond that. Watch what he says. Run with endurance. But watch what he said before he said run with endurance. That means you got to let go of some things. If you're carrying around a big backpack of weights and you're carrying around cords and stuff, they're going to trip you up. You can't run the race. You're called to run that way. You go, well, what is that? Put it in everyday context for me. If you're carrying around unforgiveness, you won't be able to run truly the way God has called you to run. If you're running with comparison, an envious heart, and you're always looking at other brothers and saying, why are they further ahead than me? Lord, why did you bless him more than me? Why did you give her what? They don't even show up at church. I'm always at church, and he shows up every once in a while. He got a new truck. She got a new husband. What? I'm gonna leave it alone. That's craziness. Craziness. You can't run that way. But here's the main thing. Looking unto Jesus, he's the author and the finisher. You say, how do I look unto Jesus? You look at this word. Yeah, but I want to see Jesus. You see Jesus right in these words. That's where you see Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. That means he's going to help you finish. And then it says, who for the joy endured the cross. You want to know how to make it in this life and not lose heart? Connect with the joy that it is to be a Christian. There's a real joy to be a Christian. A real joy. And that's why the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't find this as a burden or a chore. It's a joy to bring him glory. That's what the Bible says. I love you, church. I hope you've enjoyed this message and the series. As you take your communion cup, would you just have a conversation with the Spirit of the living God? Maybe it would go something like this. Spirit of the living God, reveal to me what you are teaching through this message. Maybe I need to be more thankful. Maybe I have been veering off the path and I haven't been walking by the Spirit. I'm coming back. I know that God's mercy is true. You may be surprised when you come back. The Father might meet you on the road, hug you, kiss you, say, put sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger, a robe around his neck. We're going to kill the fatted calf, for my son was lost and he is home again. I know I experienced that at 7 years old and it shaped my life. It shaped my life. Lord, I love your mercy. And because I love your mercy, I love sharing it. Go out and share it with someone. After all, it was his body that was broken and his blood that was shed that gave us eternal life. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I love you. Have a great, great week.